Good morning, Vine Church. I am so excited and so thankful to have this opportunity to be able to continue the second week of our Stranger Story series. My name is Alex Hanvey, and if I have not had the privilege or pleasure to meet you or connect with you, I get to be part of the pastoral leadership team here at the Vine Church. And I'm thankful and I'm humbled to be able to have this opportunity to unpack God's word with you today and to dive into what I feel like He's laid on my heart to share with you. I pray through this that it brings you encouragement and that it draws you closer to Him. And I want to start off by saying thank you. Thank you to Ruby for the incredible message and testimony that she shared last week. It was encouraging to me, and it was a very true representation of the gospel that we don't serve the Lord and we don't do the things in obedience so that we get something out of it, but we do it simply because of His love for us. And that love was put on display in Jesus Christ, in the life He lived, in the death He died for us, and in His resurrection, and the victory in life that we get to partake in because He so graciously shares it with us. So thank you so much, Ruby, for sharing that. It was encouraging, and I hope I can continue to share an encouraging word with you today. So as we get ready to dive into this, I believe that, you know, a lot of times we'll read scripture and we look to kind of see where we fit into what we're reading. Sometimes this is okay. Sometimes it's, you know, less encouraged to do that because what we want to take out of God's word and take out of his written word is we want to see Jesus in it and we want to get Jesus out of it. And what we're going to do today is there's actually, as we walk through this, there's a story that we're going to walk through in this story series that Jesus actually tells. And in it, you might kind of see yourself in a couple of different roles out of the characters who are in this particular story. And I want us to think where we fit in, where you feel like you might be in your journey and in your walk with Jesus. And as we unpack it, we're going to look at those and kind of see where those stages of life each individual might be. And it might feel like, oh, that's exactly where I am. And you can kind of see yourself in that. But that's what I want us to do is I want to look and see where we feel like we are in this particular parable with our own personal stories. And obviously, Jesus is going to be part of it. So I can't wait to see what He does through this. And I'm just excited to be able to dive into this. And this is a very familiar story that most all of us have probably heard at one time or another. And it's the parable about the Good Samaritan. And so if you're following along with us, we're going to be in Luke chapter 10. And we're going to be going through verses 25 through 37. And as we dive into this and unpack, if you want to follow along, if you have your Bible, you can go ahead and turn there to Luke chapter 10. If you have a Bible app, you can pull it up there. Or if you have the Vine Church app, you can also follow along in our notes section as well. And for those who are in the house and actually in the sanctuary, or if you're watching online, our Vine production team, who is awesome and incredible, will make sure that the scripture and verses are on the screen for you as well. So if you want to jump there to Luke chapter 10, we're going to be starting at verse 25, but to kind of set it up here, there's a crowd that is gathered around and there's a group of people who are here with Jesus. And one in particular speaks up and he's identified as an expert of the law. So this is the first role that we're looking at in this particular passage and in this story that we're going to be unpacking. And he's identified as an expert in law. So this is someone who has dedicated his time, his life, and a lot of effort to be able to understand the law, the Old Testament. And so it starts out in verse 25, and it says, "On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. 'Teacher,' he asked, 'what must I do to inherit eternal life?'" So there's a lot that we can unpack from just this first verse here is one, again, that he's an expert in the law. So he knows the Old Testament. He studied it. Kind of think of him maybe as even a lawyer or a teacher of some sort, right? But he knows the law. He has studied it. And so then he stands up and it says he stood up to test Jesus. So right off the bat, we can tell that this individual is probably not coming with the best of intentions in this question that he presents to Jesus. But I want us to look at the question he asked, and it says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And if you stop and think in your own story, in your own life, you have very likely asked this same question. God, what do I do to inherit eternal life? Maybe you ask it in this way, which I have. How do I become saved? What does that mean? How do I achieve that, acquire that, earn that? How do I gain salvation? And then you start to ask questions around that. Well, how do I keep my salvation? Can I lose my salvation? What do I need to do? And so we ask these questions all the time as Christians or as people who are searching and seeking for that. And I would even go to say that those who don't believe in Jesus or follow Jesus or don't have a certain answer that they would say when asked the question about what is an afterlife or is there an afterlife, they may be uncertain about that. Even they oftentimes will ask this question by looking to extend this life. How do I sustain my life so that I can live longer? You see, we all kind of have this question. We might just ask it in a couple different ways. And then it goes on in verse 26, and I love this, because Jesus responds and he says, what is written in the law, he replied. How do you read it? And so Jesus flips the question around and he says, okay, all right. Well, you asked me a question about how to inherit eternal life. Well, you're the expert in the law. What does the law say? How do you read it? And he presents it to this man, this expert in the law. And verse 27 says, he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so let's be honest. This expert in the law knows what he's talking about. He actually sums it up really well, and he answers very good to this question that Jesus presents to him. If you take the Ten Commandments and you split them in half, the first five are about loving God, and the next five are about loving others and treating everyone with love. And so he sums it up great. He does a good job. He kind of proves that he is an expert to an extent. But there's a lot of people who read God's word. There's a lot of people who would say they know, you know, what God's word says. But just because you read God's word doesn't mean you reflect God's word. Those are two different things. You can intellectually know what God's word says or what it teaches, but that doesn't mean that you actually put it into practice. And so that's a big part of our lives as Christians, is actually putting into practice and living out what God's word teaches us and what it instructs us to do. And then if we even look at Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40, Jesus answers someone else when asked what the greatest or most important commandment would be. Jesus answers in verse 37, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, or with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And then verse 39 says, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 40, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. You see, Jesus assures and reaffirms by what he says in Matthew 22 that this expert in the law is actually correct. What he teaches or his answer to what Jesus asked him about what does the law say and how do you read it was correct. You see, what ends up happening is we find ourselves as Christians trying to diligently live up to these two commandments, to love God wholeheartedly and to love others as ourselves. But if we're honest, we never live up to those standards. We always fail at one time or another, and we fail daily if we're being truthful, because either we're not pursuing God wholeheartedly or we're not treating someone the way that we should, and we're not showing that love to them. So let's continue on in verse 28. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. You see, so Jesus commends the expert in the law for his answer and says, you know what, dude, that's right. That's a good answer. You answered correctly. Now, how awesome would that be? To be quizzed by Jesus and to give the right answer and for him to say, yes, that's right. But he doesn't just say, yes, you've answered correctly. He says, do this and you will live. Do this and you will live. Can you say that you do this daily, 100%, no questions asked, that you live up to these two commandments, to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and that you love others continuously as you love yourself? Can you say that you follow those two commandments 100% of the time? Let's be honest. We don't. We can't. There have been moments in our lives where we have failed to live up to those standards. So how do we live if we are not doing this? How do we actually follow these commands? And therefore, how do we receive eternal life or inherit eternal life, as the initial question the expert asked? Let's continue on in verse 29 and see what happens next. It says, but he wanted to justify himself, talking about the expert in the law. He wanted to justify himself. So maybe he actually started to have doubts or questions. When Jesus said, do this and you will live, maybe he started to think, oh, wait, I didn't treat my neighbor too kindly the other day. There was this guy I saw the other day that I didn't treat him too kindly. Maybe he cussed him out. Maybe he did something to, you know, to hurt him emotionally, right? He said some bad words, or he, driving down the road made some motions that should not have been, or he should not have, and they were not too kind, right? That happens. And so in those moments, maybe he started to think, oh, well, am I actually doing these? So therefore, am I living up to the standard that would get me eternal life? And so he asked Jesus the question, who is my neighbor? He's hoping to kind of find a loophole, right? Not surprising, a lawyer trying to look for a loophole, but this expert in the law is trying to narrow in and get specifically, okay, who is my neighbor so I can assure myself that I have lived up to these commands. And Jesus goes into one of the best parables, that one of my favorite in all of Scripture, and it's of the Good Samaritan. So we've seen the role of the expert in the law. Let's see what else is inside of this parable and this story that Jesus will now tell, starting in verse 30. It says, in reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Verse 31, a priest happened to be going down the same road. Now here's our next role and character in this story and in this particular parable, the priest. So you would assume, as Jesus is telling this and as the people, the crowd around is listening, right? They're probably imagining someone they know, a Jewish person who is making this trip from Jerusalem to Jericho. And so they're imagining him, someone they know, someone they would be familiar with, to be the one in the scenario where they are beaten, right, and left half dead. So this priest is coming, so they might automatically think, okay, a priest, someone who is meant to serve and to care for others and to minister. Okay, this individual, this guy will help. And it says in verse 31, a priest happened to be going down the road, or down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. Okay. Maybe not exactly what you were expecting if this is the first time you've heard this parable or this story. And maybe not what the crowd was expecting, thinking, well, why would the priest not stop to help this guy? But then those who are familiar with the law, maybe they understood, and maybe they knew that the priest wasn't supposed to allow themselves to become ceremonially unclean. And that was only allowed if it was a very close family member, father, mother, right? Wife, child, daughter, son, daughter kind of scenario. And so maybe it was in that that they were like, okay, well, that explains it. That's the reason why. He probably had something very important he needed to do. And you can equate in today's time a priest being a pastor at a church, right? A lead pastor, a senior pastor. And then it goes on, and Jesus continues in verse 32, so too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him. Okay, here we go. So here's a Levite. The priest was in a hurry. He just had to, you know, something he had to do. He couldn't stop. That's okay. Maybe he knew the Levite was coming. A Levite would be an assistant to the priest. So let's say like an associate pastor or someone on staff or a volunteer, someone at a church in that nature, in that, you know, capacity of ministry. And so the Levite's coming and people are maybe thinking, okay, well, this person's going to stop. He's going to stop and help because he's got the time. And it says, when he came to the place and saw him, pass by on the other side. So both the priest and the Levite see this individual who is beaten, who has been robbed and stripped and left half dead, lying on the side of the road. And both of them walk on by. So there's two more roles that we see in this story and in this passage, the priest and the Levite. Both who would be in ministry, both who would have a calling from the Lord to minister to others, to do God's will. And they pass by this individual who clearly was in need of help and who was prime for an opportunity to serve. And they walk by. And maybe you think of that and you look and you say, well, man, maybe that's me. Maybe I've done that. Maybe you are a pastor at a church. Maybe you are on staff at a church. Maybe you volunteer and you serve at a church. Maybe you're just a Christian and you follow Jesus, right? You don't necessarily volunteer at church or as part of a ministry, but you follow Jesus, all right? And maybe you're thinking, how many opportunities have I missed? How many times have I missed the chance to love my neighbor as myself? How many times have I been too busy to stop and to help somebody who was in need? How many times have I been too absorbed in what I was doing in my own life that I've missed another opportunity to help somebody who really needed it? And so maybe you're looking at those two and you're like, oh, geez, that's my story. Or maybe that's part of your story. Maybe that's where you used to be, right? Or maybe that's where you are right now and you're thinking, I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that individual that bypasses and misses out on the opportunities to serve and to be Jesus to others because I'm too caught up or I'm too busy in something else. Just like the expert in the law, very knowledgeable in the Old Testament. So in Scripture, he knew it. He understood it. He could recite it. But yet he was asking a question of, how do I inherit eternal life? He could answer it, but he obviously didn't know the true answer. Because the true answer was standing in front of him in flesh and bone. The way, the truth, and the life. Jesus himself was standing before him. And he was asking and he was reciting what he could do in order to inherit eternal life. And then we see this priest and Levite, they walk by. Maybe they're caught up in their calling and religion. Maybe that's where you find yourself today. Or maybe, like I said, you've been there before and you know what that's like. But let's continue on and see what else happens next in verse 33. Jesus goes on and says, but a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. Before I continue on, I want to highlight Samaritans and Jews did not get along. They did not like each other. They did not, they didn't communicate with each other in any normal fashion. They didn't hang out together. They didn't like being around each other at all. So it would stand out to that crowd that Jesus says, but a Samaritan person, that an individual from Samaria is traveling down the same road. And they probably immediately think, well, yeah, we know they're not going to do anything. They're probably going to, you know, beat him up some more. But it goes on and it says, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. When he saw the man lying on the side of the road, he took pity on him. Verse 34, he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expenses you may have. Which of these three, Jesus goes on to ask, do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? And in verse 37, the expert in the law replied, and again with a correct answer, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus told him, go and do likewise. So again, Jesus affirms his answer and then gives him the instruction to go and do likewise, to go and do something. And so we are introduced to another character, another role, the Good Samaritan. And we see this individual who is not like the one who is laying on the road from another area, another city, another town. They don't look alike. They probably don't talk the same. They don't hang out together and are told not to hang out with each other. And so the Samaritan's passing by, and rather than ignoring this individual, this Jewish man who would have been lying half naked, half dead, with no one to help, the Samaritan goes over and he takes care of him. And so you might be thinking, okay, so we've got the expert in the law. Maybe that's where you've been in your life. You felt like you knew God's word, but you didn't know Jesus, the priest, the Levite, who were trying to follow God's calling, but got so wrapped up in serving and works that you forgot the loving your neighbor part. And then the fourth role and character is the Good Samaritan. And maybe that's what you want to be. That's where you aspire to be. Or maybe you feel like that's where God has brought you to, is to be like the Good Samaritan in your walk and in your journey. And if so, that's great and that's awesome. But there's actually a fifth character that we've intentionally overlooked thus far, that we hadn't really considered as being ourselves. And that's the individual who's lying on the side of the road, robbed, stripped of our clothes, beaten, and left for dead, with no hope of surviving on our own. That's us. That's where we have been, or that's where we are today. You see, because the Good Samaritan is what we should aspire to be. But in this parable and in this story that I'm sharing with you today, the Good Samaritan is not you and I. But the Good Samaritan is Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to look at what it says in verse 34. He went to him. The Samaritan didn't wait for the man to crawl over to him from the roadside. No. It says the Samaritan went to him and bandaged his wounds. He put him on a donkey, took him to this place where he could rest and recover. And don't miss this. He said, when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expenses you may have. He covered the cost. He covered the price. He paid it. He didn't expect the man to do it that was beaten and half dead, half alive, however you want to look at it. No, he covered every penny, every bit of the cost he paid himself. And he didn't have to, but he chose to. You see, you and I in this story and in our lives, before we know Jesus, we're just like the man lying on the side of the road with no hope, and no one to stop and help. And if we look to religion, or we look to experts in God's word and in the law and in the Old Testament to save us, They'll all pass by and they'll all miss it. And if we look to our intellectual knowledge like the expert of the law did to bring us to a point of salvation, we'll fail to see that hope and salvation is right before us in Jesus Christ. And so it comes to that point where we have to realize and understand who we are in this story. And it's not the Good Samaritan, but it is the one who is lying in need of help, in need of a Savior, in need of someone to come and to rescue us. And that person to come to our aid, the true Good Samaritan, is Jesus. And so as you were sitting here and thinking through this and listening today, I pray right now in this moment that God will open your eyes to see your need and dependency on Jesus. I hope that God will open your ears to hear His voice calling you if you've never heard it before. And I hope and pray that God will open your heart to receive and to believe in the Good Samaritan, the Good Shepherd, our Messiah, our Savior, our rescue, Jesus. That you will believe in Him and receive the free gift of mercy and salvation that He has for you. I pray for Him to move in your life right now and today and in this moment. And for those who have accepted Jesus at some point in time in your life and you know that Jesus is the one who has saved you and rescued you, the Good Samaritan is an example for us to follow. It might not be something that we are today, but Jesus has set the example. He's paved the way. He's shown us how to live our lives. And so even though in this parable, we might be the ones who are lying on the road in need of help, once we have that help and we know Jesus as our Savior, now we have an example of how to live as Christians and followers of Jesus Christ, as Good Samaritans in this world, that we might be able to not be like the priest and the Levite who missed the opportunity to serve someone, but that we might have our eyes open to be able to see those opportunities around us. Those who are in need, and be able to not show how good we are, but reflect the love that we have experienced from Christ to them, so that ultimately they get to see Jesus in you and I. So wherever you are in your walk and in your relationship with Jesus, whether it's non-existent, it just started, or you've been walking that walk for years, I pray that you understand, whether you know Jesus or don't, there are opportunities for blind spots in your life and in my life. And the only way that we can avoid that is to always reflect back to where we came from and to understand that we were the one in need. And He came and paid our price and rescued us from death. You see, Jesus stepped down from His place in heaven to come to earth to give us an opportunity to receive life and to have life and an eternal life. He lived the perfect life that you and I couldn't. He lived up to those standards that you and I just can't. He paid our price. He covered the cost by His death on the cross that we owed, that we deserved. And then even more so, He rose from the grave. And He didn't keep that victory to Himself, but He offers it so that we can share and we can partake in that with Him by believing He is who He says He is and He did what He said He would do. And that our hope is not in our own efforts, but our hope is found in Him. And the only way that we can go and do likewise is by having a relationship with Jesus, and therefore having the Holy Spirit live inside of us to give us the strength, the ability, the grace, the mercy, the love, the compassion, the wisdom, and the understanding to be able to do what God calls us to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, to love our neighbors as ourselves. And reflect the love that Jesus shares for us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to gather together, whether in person or remotely, Lord. I thank you that each and every person is here, that they can have an opportunity to hear you speak, to feel you move in their own life. I pray, Lord, that you will open the eyes of every person, that we may see your beauty and your goodness in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray that you will open our ears, that we may hear your word and the gospel spoken and preached. And I pray, Lord, that our hearts will be open to receive all that you have for us, most importantly, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us to live out our lives in a way that reflects Jesus to those around us, to understand where we came from as one who was broken, beaten, and hopeless on the side of the road, to someone who has hope, who has been redeemed and restored, and can now share that love and that grace and that mercy and the light of hope with the world around us. So if there's anyone listening to this, if there's anyone who doesn't already know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to take this opportunity, if God is drawing you to it, to pray this prayer with me, and understand it's not the words that make this prayer. It's not anything special or magical, but it's your faith in your heart about what you believe. That Jesus is who he says he is. He lived the perfect life. He died the death that you and I deserve, and he rose in victory over sin and death. And that we get to share in that through faith in him, not by our good works or good deeds. So if that's you and you want to pray this prayer with me, just follow me in this prayer. Lord Jesus, I'm in need of a Savior. I am a sinner separated from you. I believe you lived the perfect life. I believe you died the death that I deserve. And I believe you rose in victory. And that by faith in you and you alone, I have hope and salvation. Help me, Lord, to follow you, to turn from my way to yours, and follow you every step of my life the best way that I know how. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer, I want to encourage you to reach out to us here at the Vine Church. Leave us a comment on Facebook. Send us a message on Facebook or on the Vine Church app. However you can, reach out to us and let us know, because we want to walk with you in this. We want you to understand this step of salvation and hope that you have made, and the place that you find yourself in the arms of Jesus, who will heal, restore, and redeem you, just like the Good Samaritan did to the one lying on the side of the road who was helpless and hopeless. And if you're here watching and listening today and you're in person, I want to encourage you to go ahead and stand with us as we get ready to close out and as we get ready to wrap up in worship. But I just pray for each and every one who is here, whether you know Jesus or don't, that you will allow him the opportunity to move in your life and to draw you near to him today. Thank you, and God bless.
Tries to roll over my bones. Sorrow comes to steal the joy I own. When brokenness and pain is all I know, I won't be shaken. I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I
Thank you guys for coming out today. I hope to see you next week, where I'll be sharing my story, my strange story. It'll be a fun time because I got ADHD. Can't even say that right. So obviously, we're going to have a fun time. Come out, enjoy, and remember the message that Alex shared with us today about being the Good Samaritan. Remember, the best is still yet to come.